Good morning and welcome to Friday morning, April the 5th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we come to the end of Year B, the second Sunday of Easter, and on the Friday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the gospel passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves at the end of the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in the time of prayer. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for us. All right, there's so much that we could talk about here, and that tends to happen when we get a longer passage in the Gospels. There's just so many ways which we could go with it. It is kind of interesting, and maybe recognize this at other times we've read through the Gospel of John. But John's got a couple different endings. Like, he's got this one here because it does kind of end nicely, right? Thomas is met by Jesus, and Jesus' main message to Thomas is to believe and to stop doubting. And then John gives this great little end. You know, he kind of puts a bow on it. He says, you know, "We've written these things. We could write more, but this is enough for you to reckon that you can believe that Jesus is the Messiah and you can have faith in his name." And and then we've got some more. And the next chapter of John kind of serves like one of those extra scenes. Do you remember like DVDs way back in the day? And they had all those extra scenes that you could watch too. And so there is a sense that maybe this was the end of the initial scroll. And then some stuff was added on there later. So you had like this extra ending, which I think is a beautiful ending. It is kind of interesting that Peter seems to be among the disciples in this passage in John chapter 20. And everything seems fine. Like, Thomas is the one that Jesus is tracking down. But then in John 21, Jesus wants to track down Peter and make sure that they're all square before he ascends to the Father. I think the thing that I'd like to focus on, keeping in mind what we read yesterday in 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, this idea of forgiveness. One of the things that I learned in Dr. Hank Letterly's class, Pneumatology, Study of the Spirit, is that each of the gospel writers, and we look at Acts as well, we kind of lump that in there too, they all take a plane of the diadem of the Spirit. Like, nobody captures all of the main ideas of the Holy Spirit in their one document. And there's a sense where, like, maybe Luke and Acts talks about the miracle working power of the Spirit. John, his deal, he deals more with salvation, or how does one included in the family of God? And we certainly see that in the book of Acts as well. We see the Spirit poured out. And sure, there are signs and wonders in nearly every chapter. But there's also this sense where the community of God's being built, right? Where, you know, you got disciples in the upper room in chapter 2, and people are scooped into the body of Christ as we continue to go through the book of Acts. And so I think John wants to focus on what it means to build up the church. And so when Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit in John's gospel, the heart of it is the forgiveness of sins. And it's this idea that we can confer forgiveness over one another. Now, some of us are going to hear that, and we probably read it as we were listening to it this morning, and begin to twitch a little bit, like, what? Well, hold on a second now. Like, God forgives sins alone, and that's no question. That's been the constant. But it is striking, this language that Jesus gives. He's like, if anyone confesses their sins to you and you forgive them, their sins will be forgiven. So there's a sense where forgiveness is not just something between the disciple and God, but there's like an economy of grace that makes up the body of Christ. And therefore, we're going to do the heavy lifting work of forgiving one another as we try to do life together. Rich Viodas, who is a great Christian thinker today and pastor in New York City, once he said that, you know, we are healed in community and we are wounded in community. And I think because we are wounded in community, we're always going to deal with forgiveness. And I think the longer that we're Christian, we should grow in the quotient of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is it's a challenging topic. It's one that there's so many great works out there. The one that I would highly recommend is The Art of Forgiveness by Lou Smeads. He takes the whole thing on, and chapter after chapter is just kind of awe-inspiring. But I think I may have mentioned this a couple weeks back, but there's a book that I finished by a guy named Kelly O'Flanagan, or not O'Flanagan, Kelly Flanagan, still Irish, but no O apostrophe, The Unhiding of Elijah Campbell. And what I loved about that book was there's like this delicate passage about forgiveness. And one of the things that's conveyed between these two characters is that if we need an apology for forgiveness, then we're really not forgiving, but we're trying to change the score, but we're trying to win, right? So if we can lure an apology from somebody, then we forgive them. That might be a critical point of reconciliation, but forgiveness is about setting somebody free, right? And it's also setting us free in the process. And that doesn't have to be on our terms. I think this is how in the past, and I'll continue to struggle with this in the future, is whenever there's forgiveness that's being brokered, and we have like this idea of how we think it should go, right? We feel like we should be able to say our piece and that person should be able to receive it because they're so willing to be forgiven by us. And so we think, okay, I'm going to say this and they're going to say that in return. And then the mood of forgiveness will be there. It's something that book conveyed that I'm still wrestling with. And once again, I'll probably wrestle with to the end of my days is, you know, whenever there's been a hurt, like we're kind of tethered together in pain. And if we want to be set free, the other person has to be set free too. And as we walk through forgiveness, we may not feel that forgiveness in the moment, but it begins to work deeply within us over time. Then when we let that person go, we allow them to be free because we've forgiven them. One day, this is what the book says, one day, like, the sun will be brighter, the bird song will be clear, they'll be lighter in their like spirit, and like there'll be a weight lifted off their shoulders, and they may not know exactly the reason why, but it's because we had the courage enough to forgive them and to set them free. I think when Jesus began to imagine the church and this community of people who would follow him and call upon his name, I think he looked forward to us growing in this forgiveness. And I think this maybe this is what he had in mind when he said that we need to have a childlike faith. That's what I loved about watching my kids grow up, is that they were so eager to forgive. And they didn't have to have a lot of stipulations or a lot of requirements before they would forgive. They just forgive because they love you and they believed your confession was sincere. And brother and sister in Christ, this is the master's level path of what it means to be Christian, which is to know how to set people free. And you don't know exactly what I'm walking through. I don't know exactly what you're walking through. But maybe we can take Jesus at his word that this would be a bit of the fruit of what it means to be Christian and be those who share in the Holy Spirit, is that we are eager to forgive so that the weight of people's sins don't drag behind them and weigh them down and cause them shame and despondency the rest of their life. And that it doesn't have to happen exactly on our terms, because Jesus accepted us even though we were in the depth of our own sin, right? He wanted to see us forgiven and free. And so may the life of Christ within us continue to teach us about this delicate economy of forgiveness and grace. And may we see others set free around us because we take Jesus at his word and we can trust him that he'll give us the courage and the strength to walk the rocky path of forgiveness, forgiving one another and sharing in the life of the Holy Spirit together. So those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are overwhelmed by the thought that you have forgiven us on your own terms. We didn't measure up to earn salvation or life in you or being invited into the family of God, but on your own terms, you brought us into the family, and we're overwhelmed by that. And because of that grace, we have a decision to make. We can either take advantage of it or we can see it as a mold and model for our own life. And God, we confess at times we have so easily taken your forgiveness for us, but we've been so stingy in handing it out to others. Father, I think you know it's because we don't want to be hurt or taken advantage of. And so help us to teach the way of wisdom where we can learn to forgive, to live in freedom, and to allow others to be free around us as well. God, some of us have very complicated situations and no one else knows about it but us. But you know it, God. And so for those who want to take the first courageous step to begin to forgive people for some really painful things, I simply pray for your comfort and care, and I pray that you might teach them the wisest step forward so that they can learn how to set others free as they've been set free. So God, be with us in this delicate and important task. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.